Here. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? These questions posed by Agar reveal why he felt so inadequate as he pondered the great mysteries of the infinite Godhead. Remember, we covered last week, verses 2 and 3, where he said, "Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy." And then in verse 4, he begins to ask these questions with relationship to God in comparison to man. God is so much greater than man. God possesses infinite attributes that men are not capable of. He is omnipotent, meaning that He's all-powerful. So powerful that He has the ability to just speak creation into existence, create the world by the breath of His mouth. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Think about that. All you can see today is what's confined in your area. You can't even see beyond these walls. Jim, you can't even see the expression on Ed's face. But God sees all at once. He knows all things. He knows what we think, what our attitude is, what's inside of us. He knows everything. God is immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't get better. He doesn't get worse. He's perfect. He doesn't age. He is from everlasting to everlasting. God never has to change His mind because He has ordered all things and He does all things right. And then God is eternal. That's so beyond us. We are so captured by our finite existence. Everything about our life is tethered to time and space and matter. Yet God existed before time, before space, before matter. And then God is sovereign over all things. He does. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Our God, all of these are infinite attributes. And God is holy. You say, well, man is holy in Christ. That's exactly right. Our holiness is derived from another source. God is intrinsically, eternally holy, with no admixture of sin ever. So you kind of understand, Agar had a comprehension, somewhat, of the magnitude of God. And it caused him to see just how frail, how insignificant he really was. You see, man simply cannot compare to the infinite majesty of God Almighty. Job 36, verse 26 said, "Behold, God is great, and we know Him not, neither can the number of His years be searched out." Job 37, 23, "Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict." One of my favorites is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, each of the questions asked by Agar in verse 4 reveal things that are impossible with man, yet are possible with God, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended. Now you might think back to the Old Testament. Enoch and Elijah were both taken up to heaven by the power of God, but they did not descend to tell about it. Now I do think that Elijah will descend later on prophetically as one of the two witnesses in Revelation. But anyway, what I'm talking about is they can't do that. They didn't do that of their own power. Their ascension was not of their own ability, but rather by the supernatural power of God. I also believe Paul the Apostle ascended up into the third heaven and heard unspeakable things, but was unable to communicate what he experienced to others. He did not ascend or descend by his own power. It was God who performed the miraculous feat. Jesus Christ, who is the express image of God, who is God manifest in the flesh, He did ascend up into heaven, and He did descend by His own power. In fact, during His earthly ministry, He freely spoke about His ability to descend from the Father and also ascend. He said this in John 3, verses 12 and 13, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Only Jesus Christ could descend and ascend to and from heaven of His own volition and power. And how thankful we should be that Jesus descended from the glories of heaven to become a man in order to die in the stead of His people. How thankful we ought to be that He conquered death and hell and the grave, and that by His own power He ascended up to heaven to the right hand of the Father, where He now acts as our great High Priest, our Mediator, our Advocate. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So the first question is answered: Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. The second question: who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Again, no mere man has the ability to control the wind or to bind the waters of heaven and earth. No man can establish the ends of the earth. The next question, who hath established all the ends of the earth? Only our great and majestic sovereign has this kind of power and ability. I believe this with every fiber of my being. God controls and directs all the forces of nature. Man can do nothing to stay the hand of Almighty God. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" God sends cool breezes so man and beast can find relief from the heat of the day. God sends tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis as it pleases Him. God alone can control the wind. God binds and looses the waters according to His sovereign will and purpose. He sends gentle rain to water the earth so we may enjoy the beauty of the flowers and also the nourishment that vegetables and that fruits provide. We trace all that back to God's gracious, good hand. The same God unleashed the waters of judgment in the days of Noah until the entire earth was flooded. People say, why would God do that? Because He is a holy God. He is a God of absolute justice and righteousness. When you really understand who God is, the question is, why doesn't He do it more often? Why doesn't He bring judgment upon the whole earth more often? Well, we know why. He promised that after that worldwide flood, that He would never again cover the earth with water like that ever again. Which, by the way, establishes the truth of a worldwide flood, not a local. There's been plenty of local floods all around the world, but not a worldwide flood. The point being is that only God can do such things. This whole notion of global warming, cooling, climate change being man-made is complete arrogance on the part of men who hate God. So that's pretty staunch. Listen, this is an attempt to take away God's power. Men cannot control the climate or the weather. Say about, oh, it's all this industry, it's all this capitalism, and all this that's caused the climate to go haywire. Listen, there have been ice ages before there was ever any machinery. There have been raises in temperature long before the gas-powered engine was ever conceived. God's in control. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that climate changes. No question about it. But you know who's in control of it? God, not man. We cannot reduce the temperature of the planet even a smidgen. Only God. He controls it. He has complete control over all His creation. Man has no power to control the winds, the rains, the seas, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, or the heat of the sun. Oh, they think they got, oh, we're going to pass laws and we're going to outlaw hurricanes. Yes, sir, we're going to regulate things so much that we're going to outlaw hurricanes. We're not going to let them come. really, that's how they talk. They're just not real plain about it. That's what they think they can do. It's idiocy. I often say we live in an idiocracy where people think that they can pass a law that somehow is going to restrain God. When Jesus Christ wanted to demonstrate the infinite power of the Godhead, what did he do? He made the winds and the waters to obey his will with three simple words. Peace, be still. Mark 4:39. By his words and actions, Jesus Christ was declaring his deity and his equality with his Father. Now, Agar, I think, understood that God the Father had only one begotten Son who in time would be revealed as the Word of God. He says, what is his name and what is his Son's name? If thou canst tell. Under the old covenant, the eternally begotten Son was given names such as the seed of the woman, Shiloh, Emmanuel, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Lord our righteousness, the righteous branch, and the desire of the nations. When all the prophecies relating to the first advent of Christ converged, God manifest in the flesh burst on the scene and was introduced in Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name, purpose, and glorious work are all announced in one single verse. How wonderful the name of Jesus. His glorious name has been preached all around the world. As far as we're concerned, countless souls have had their hearts and minds opened by the Spirit to behold and believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Acts 10:43 says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Oh, that God would open the darkened hearts of poor sinners so that they may know the glory of the gospel and the power of Christ to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. I know his name. I have experienced the power of his name. Oh, that I may tell others of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus as long as I have breath. May his worthy name be exalted in time and throughout the eternal ages as we consider the incarnation, humiliation, the suffering, the death of the Lord Jesus on our behalf. Let us praise his name above all other names. May God help us to agree with what he pronounced. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. We're dismissed.